And if you would like to have your Bible open, Ephesians chapter 4 is a good place at least to begin. We'll be bringing in some other scripture, and actually maybe even some better scripture in our thought process today. We're going to think a little bit in regard to the Lord's Supper, in regard to theology and doctrine. I know everybody gets excited about talking about theology and doctrine. I mean, that's pretty exciting stuff. And in reality, it is, but it can be made to be pretty boring sometimes. My thought process started because of my beautiful wife, Joni, asked me a question about a particular person the other day. Do you know such and such? And I said, oh, I've heard the name. You know anything about her? And I don't know exactly how the conversation went, but I said, no, I really don't know. I just remember once that person turned me off in listening to them, but and I haven't been back to listen since. But I went and I looked, and Joni had found a website, and I accidentally found the same website. It's Christian Apologetics Research Ministries, and I don't know how good it is, but it had the pros and cons of what this person was teaching. I'm going to try not to name this person, but if you want to know personally one-on-one, I'll tell you who it is. I just don't want to try and be a basher today, or any day, I guess, or at least most of the time. But she is a lady. She's a very prominent lady. A name that many of you would recognize, teaches. And she teaches several things that I strongly disagree with, but one of the things that she teaches, that is, in 3 days that Jesus was in the grave, he went to hell, and there he paid the price for my sins in hell. He was tormented for my sins by Satan and the demons. They did unspeakable things to him, so that I guess, is the way I was led to believe anyway. And she also says that unless you believe this, you're going to go to hell. In other words, she says you have to believe this to be saved. Now, there may be parts to this that may not be too far off, but there are some parts to this that have no biblical substance, my opinion whatsoever. And what I believe, what I see, what I understand. There are two places in Scripture that you might go to, these are the only two that have really strong ties to it at least, and one of them is the place that we read our opening passage of Scripture. And we'll talk about both of these for a little bit. I'm going to try to go through this fast so we have time for the Lord's Supper. But in Ephesians chapter 4, the context is an introduction to spiritual gifts. And in introducing that in the first verses, it opens up the great gift of Jesus, and I believe that is salvation, the ministry of Christ to die on the cross for our sins, and for those who believe, to receive the gift. Verse 7, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. In Scripture, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, our salvation is a gift of God. And it's by faith and by faith alone and not by anything that we do. And so that is the context even, and he's talking about, I believe, preparing this, he gets into, after this passage, into some spiritual gifts. Verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and pastors and teachers. And that was to equip the saints, to prepare them. This is a giftedness. Gifts that come from the Spirit of God, that come from God through the Spirit of God to help us in ministry, to prepare each other for life and to thrive within our life. But in the middle of this, he talks about Christ, verse 8, therefore it says when he ascended, and it's a quote, he led captive a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Now, one of the commentators I read gave me a thought that I wouldn't have normally thought of. But when Christ died on the cross for our sins and then rose again the third day, he proclaimed his victory. He conquered death. He conquered sin and death. And he was victorious. And in the Old Testament, when a king would come back from a battle, he would come back and he would have all the spoils and he would show his spoils, these gifts, to the people. And I suppose they even maybe shared them. I'm not exactly sure. Christ gives to us through his victory on the cross, through the resurrection, he gives to us the gifts of the spoil. Salvation, eternal life. Life as God intended for it to be. Here now, to a large degree, and in eternity when we are completely changed in a complete manner, in a complete form. And so, verse 9, this expression, he ascended, that's he went up, and what does it mean except that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? Now, it doesn't matter exactly what you believe here. All the commentators that I read say that descended to the lower parts of the earth, meaning his incarnation. In fact, if you have an ESV translation, English Standard Version, which is a good translation, they put it, it's put this way, that he ascended to the lower regions, the earth. That's what it talks about. You have multiple heavens that we understand in Scripture. There's the atmosphere at the heaven and on through, and there's the heaven where God is throne is at. And I don't know all the in-betweens and ins and outs of all of that. But then there is the descension that Christ left his throne on high and descended to the lower parts. He descended to the earth and became a man and put on flesh and blood and died for our sins. But even if you believe, and there's sound evidence to believe that when Christ died, he went to hell. I don't know how deep I think in this, but there is evidence, strong evidence, and when we get to 1 Peter, we'll see that. At least that there would be some evidence. But it says nothing about he went to hell to suffer and die for my, to suffer and be tormented for my sins. You know, it plays great. You know, it sounds, it just adds. You know, what Christ went through at his crucifixion was enough. I believe that sincerely. And we'll bring that to culmination. But I don't think he had to be tormented by the demons anymore for my sin. The second text is 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 18 and 19. 18 is one of my favorite verses. For Christ, 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also died for our sins once for all. The just, that's Jesus, for the unjust, that's me. So that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, he made alive in the spirit. 19, in which Also, he went in the Spirit, he went and made a proclamation to the spirits now in prison. Now, this isn't the same thing that this teacher is teaching. It says he went and he preached, or he taught, he proclaimed. Different translations have different wording there, but it means that he preached to the imprisoned spirits. Oh, that's a whole other topic. The imprisoned spirits, who are they? Where did they come from? And I have some ideas, but I don't think I want to even share them because, maybe. We know that there are demons out there in this world that fight against us. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against these spiritual beings. And we believe that they are demons, that they are part of the fallen angels. But here it talks about an imprisoned group of spirits. And I have my thoughts on that. But in this particular case, it says that Jesus went and he preached to them, and I believe, my belief is he preached to them victory. He proclaimed to them that he had conquered sin, that he died for our sins once for all, the just for the unjust. You know, I would have done it like this. Na, 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 na. Type of thing. Oh, I shouldn't do that. That's on recording now. Ooh. I better be careful. It doesn't say anything about the demons tormenting him. The gospel tells us, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, I have delivered to you the gospel that Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Jesus was crucified for our sins. 1 Peter 3:18 that we just read. Christ died for our sins once and for all, the just for the unjust, so that we might, that he might bring us to God. Back in Ephesians 4, it says that he ascended, and there's the some connotation there that he ascended with those believers back to heaven. There's another interesting thing that I thought of that I didn't put in my notes. When Jesus died on the cross, there was something very there was many things that happened that were unusual, above and beyond. But one of the things that happened, and you can read it at least in one of the Gospels, I think I did some research on this and I've forgotten now. That was just yesterday. See how I forget. But that when he died, one of the writers at least says that there were some, maybe many, that rose from the dead and were walking the streets of Jerusalem, walking around. Dead saints, Old Testament saints, that rose when Jesus died. And it occurred to me, if Jesus had not yet completed and had to go to hell and suffer for my sins, how could they have already rose, being it wasn't completed yet? Just a part of my thought process there. But Scripture tells me it was his death on the cross and his burial and resurrection that provided, it was primarily his death that paid the price, his resurrection that brought it, victory, brought to us victory over death within our lives as well. The hope that it would happen. Each gospel writer has maybe a little different slant to things because they saw things differently. And they were at different places in their thought processes and in their lives. The most convincing thing to me now is what John wrote. when Jesus died on the cross. John, as far as we know, is the only disciple that was actually there. The others seem to be back a ways, and some of them not even close at all. And several of the gospel writers wrote at the end of Jesus' life that he cried, and he cried out with a loud cry or a shout, and he died. But John says that he said these words. I think that crying out that the other gospel writers allude to is what John heard him say. And what did he say? It is finished. What was finished? His suffering and his pain? Yeah. The atonement for sin that he had substituted himself into this whole sin deal, the sinless one, the just. For who? For the unjust. He had placed himself into this, the eternal God. And he specifically came to earth to die on the cross for our sins. To die. Because the wages of sin is death. Something had to die to atone for sin. Something had to give up their life. In the day that you eat of this fruit, God said in the garden, you will die. Sin produces death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he says it's finished because it was accomplished. It was done what he came to earth to do. It was finished. Our sins taken care of in Jesus' death on the cross. Not having to do anything more to pay for my sin, to accomplish salvation for me. It would have been meaningless without his resurrection, yes. That's the power of God bringing back to life his son, Jesus Christ. But Jesus said before he died that I actually have power to give life back to myself again. How could he do that? Because he is the eternal God. And so as we look back to what Christ did to us this morning by the Lord's Supper, this is what we're remembering. You can forget about this person, other than the fact that there's some other bad teaching coming from this person that I just assume you stayed away from. If you think that you might ask me, I don't care. But the reason that we come to the Lord's Supper is because Jesus left it for us to help us remember. You know how bad my memory's getting? I talk about how bad my memory's getting. Some of you talk to me about how bad your memory's getting too. Jesus gave us something to help us remember. Now, we shouldn't forget this, should we? But it's a symbol that helps us to make a little bit of an extra effort to go back and to remind us what Jesus went through on the cross. What he did to provide for me a means of my salvation, the means of my salvation, the Lord's Supper. He instituted this with his disciples before he died. He said, you know, this is something that I'm going to do for you. This will show you, and you can do it from time to time. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, where we ultimately always go to when we go to the Lord's Supper, because it is explained very simply and very quickly, that this do ye in remembrance of me, to remember what I've done for you and what I went through on the cross. The bread and the cup symbolize what happened to Jesus as he died for sin and took the punishment for our sin. The just for the unjust. from the very foundation. It was always. From Genesis chapter 3, it was always that something had to die to atone for sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, the covering that they had made for themselves to cover their sin, so to speak, was not adequate. God had to make for them clothes of skin. An animal died, or animals died to cover their sin. Throughout the Old Testament sacrificial system, animals had to die to atone for sin. Something greater than that must happen. Atonement must be made at a greater level to provide eternal atonement. And that is a human atonement. And that could only be accomplished out of a sinless one. And a sinless one could only be God Himself. And so He became a man and died on the cross for our sins. Always something must die. Now that Jesus would go to hell and be punished for our sins, it's not necessary. And it's not to be found, at least to my understanding, not to be found in Scripture. It's being real. So, we come to the Lord's table to remember what Jesus did in atoning for our sins. That's it. It's a time to remember. In the Corinthian church, there was a lot of problems going on internally, and there was a lot of lack of love and a lot of sin between brothers and sisters in Christ. This part used to always scare me when I was a kid. Did it scare you? Because I was afraid if I ate the Lord's Supper unworthily, I could die. Because it says, it goes on to say, some of you have passed on, have died because of the sin in your heart. And I thought, maybe because of this little sin I did, that I could die if I wasn't careful. But I think it's more than just that. I think it was the fellowship of the believers and the sin that was there between each other that was the major cause of that. And so we're called to examine ourselves. As I said at the beginning, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can partake of the Lord's Supper and you can celebrate. But if there's things in your heart between other believers and there's things in your heart that you're hiding, and you know, you need to get right with God. You need to do that. Not as a magical system, but because it's in our relationship with God that we keep things straight, that we keep things current. And God wants us to do that. And so as we come to the Lord's table, it's not about us in all of that, although that's important, but it is really and truly about Jesus and what Jesus did for us. We remember. We remember.